Are you constantly optimistic? I mean, you've been putting projects in front of legislators and the general public. Let's use this example, the centennial. In 2000, you're trying to get somebody excited about something that's going to happen in 2007, 7 years later, and it falls on deaf ears, and you go home at night. What do you say? How do you handle that?
I'm going to tell you a story. I am a recovering alcoholic, and I knew that if I were going to try to do this kind of work, that I had to quit drinking because it was a very frustrating time, as you can see. One of the things that I did do by a lot of grace was I said, I don't need to be mixing alcohol with all this stuff. So September 1 of 1983, I took my last drink, and I've never looked back. I think if there's a secret about me, it's in the recovery of a human being's life, that once you've been to the battlefield, everything else should be just fun and wonderful. And I've tried to do that since that time, that if it's important to Oklahoma, I want to give my best shot to do these things. I don't want anything to be mixed up in it. So recovery plays a giant role in what I do in the evenings. And I have a thing about trying to help other people to make sure that they can live the best lives that they can.
Help other alcoholics is what you're saying. Help
drug addicts, alcoholics that are ruining their lives, their families, and all that. When you get into helping somebody else, you don't think about yourself. And that's the secret to getting through all these things. Because if I sat and worried about this every night, it would drive me to drink, probably. We don't want to do that.
Somebody's listening to this, and maybe they have an alcohol problem. What would you be saying to them?
Oh, you're touching my heart now. Surrender to win. You surrender to alcohol and drugs, you will understand what I'm saying, that from that day on, you're going to be a winner regardless. You'll get your dignity. You'll understand what the word hope is, that life is okay. There's plenty of us that have gone before you, and we will be there to help you through your time. Alcohol and drugs are taking a lot of our younger people, and I'm scared for them, and I want to be there to help them.
What point in your life did you realize that you had a drinking problem? Was it pointed out to you, or did you figure it out? There's something's wrong here.
No, I had it pointed out to me by that wife that I talk about. Kathy, she told me in 1976, I was so upset about my military. You know, they call it PTSD now, but you talk about worrying at night. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything. So alcohol was my savior. I can remember a time that is so significant because you go across a fine line into alcoholism. I can tell you when exactly it was. It was in Vietnam, and it was out there in the damn woods. I had two old crusty warrant officers that the night before I drank heavy with, and that next morning they were whistling and dancing down to an area that we shaved, and they were carrying a hot six-pack of beer. And I said, Chief, what are you doing there? And he said, what do you mean? Haven't you ever had one in the morning? And I said, what are you talking about? Because I always thought if you drank the night before, you had to get up and go to work. You had to pay for your sins. And here I learned the secret to alcoholism is when you get up and you take another drink to get rid of all the pain and suffering. That morning when he handed me a hot can of beer and I took it and I saw, hey, I don't have that hangover any longer. The answer to everything is more alcohol. And that destroyed my first marriage and didn't help my career any, but certainly in those days, all my bosses were alcoholics. I mean, booze in the military during that period was, I got to tell you a story about how naive I was. Company commander in Italy, my first sergeant, we were playing for the base championship in flag football. It was Friday afternoon, and first sergeant said to me, Captain, I'm going to go and get beer. Do you think out of our 120 men, anybody doesn't drink? And I said, I hope they don't. He said, I'll get 1 6-pack of Coca-Cola in case we have somebody that doesn't drink beer. But that was our comradeship. I want to tell a story about Martin Luther King dying when I was in Italy as company commander. All of a sudden, the base commander called me and he said, "Captain Wade, all of our African Americans are down at the NCO club. They just found out Martin Luther King died." And I said, "Colonel, how about me going down and seeing if I can't try to help their situation by getting them at least out of there?" Because they started drinking that morning. And I remember knocking on the NCO club door, and they said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I need to get in there and talk to my first sergeant," which was African American, and they let me in. That day, I ended up staying with them all because all we did was drink, and we were all together. It was that comradeship again, that something tragic in the United States has happened. That was how alcohol worked for me. But then when it turns and you go over that fine line, it never works again. And you keep trying to capture that the way it was. So when my wife talked to me about drinking or leaving, I said I could not quit drinking. I was obsessed with at night drinking. So that day, 1 September 1983, I'm telling you, it was, I'll die before I take another drink of whiskey. That was my turning point.
Did your wife leave you?
Yes. My first wife left me and my two children. I regret it to this day.
How long did you continue drinking after she left?
Oh, 1976 to 1983. I remember very clearly. And in that time, if you haven't been in trouble yet, you get in trouble when you're by yourself in an alcoholic world. Those things all happened all the way to the time that I got out of the military and was ready to go with my new life.
What led to your final drink?
I haven't shared this with very many people, but I can tell you it was in Lawton, Oklahoma, in an alley where I had spent the night, and a sergeant was making me tang and honey. He was mixing it, and I remember looking out the window, and I said, "If there is a God, please help me." I couldn't eat, and he was making something just to get down my throat. I remember drinking that and walking up through an alley into a church that I grew up in. And for the first time in years, I cried. When I left there, I said, "I'll die before I take another drink."
Did you go to Alcoholics Anonymous?
Oh, yeah.
Immediately?
Oh, yeah.
Was that your first step?
I'd been there before, but I didn't think I needed it. But I started then, and I've gone 4 or 5 times a week for the last 31 years.
And now have helped numerous other alcoholics.
Well,
down through the years, you never know when your story is going to be embraced and help others.